Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church, coming to your homes live from Portland, Oregon. We are a people of worship, work, and prayer, ready to serve the Lord, ready to serve with the community, and ready to withstand the enemy. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. It is our prayer that during our worship experience, that your love for God will be intensified, your faith be stirred, your hands get to clapping, and your feet get to dancing. After this song of preparation, be prepared to join Pastor Kimberly K. Black and the Greater St. Stephen's Church family as we bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible tells us to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth unto all generations. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness towards us. Good morning, church family. Good morning. Good morning to our family and friends that have joined us in worship. We are just now leaving St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, headed to the house, and we're just truly thankful to God for giving us this opportunity to come before the presence of the Lord where we can worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. We're going to have our scripture reading this morning. We're going to have our scripture reading, and we're going to just be prepared to go into the presence of the Lord. We want to honor the presence of the Lord today, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. And we thank God for waking us up this morning, giving us the activities of our limbs, starting us on our way, clothing us in our right mind, giving us a portion of our health and strength. If it had not been for the Lord this morning, saints of God, it could be us. It could be us. Could be us at the morgue. It could be us in the hospital, in the ICU unit. It could be us locked up in jail. It could be us somewhere not really understanding where we are or what's going on around us. But because of God's grace and mercy, and the psalm says it followed us all the days, and he watched over us all night, we have the opportunity to come into his gates and his courts to give him praise. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Heavenly Father, our God, our Lord, our King, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, God, you sit high, you look low, and you know, God, everything that's going on in the lives of your people. You know that we need you today more than we needed you on yesterday. And so, Father God, we come and we ask that you would forgive us of all of our transgressions. Forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. Forgive us, God, all of our slothfulness. Lord God, forgive us when we didn't obey your word. Lord God, we ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts and everything that you find in us that's not like you, Father God. We ask that you would remove it now. Take it away from us now. God, in the name of Jesus, we need you, Lord, to wash us thoroughly in the blood of the Lamb, to create within us a clean heart, and to renew a right spirit within us. We need you, Father God, to purge us with hyssop. Oh, God, we are not perfect, but God, it's our heart's desire to live a life that pleases you and to give you glory and honor. Oh, God, forgive us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come before you this morning, Father God, empty vessels before a full fountain. God, we ask that you pour out your spirit on us today, that we may live right, love right, do right, give right, be right. Pour your spirit out among us today, God. Fill us up with your spirit, Lord, that we may trust you the more. Fill us up with your spirit, oh God, that we may depend on you the more. Fill us up with your spirit, oh God, today, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh God, how we look to you, Lord God. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are our sustainer, oh God, and we worship you. As we come together, Lord God, we welcome your Holy Spirit in our space. Transform our living room, our dining room, our bedroom, the cubicle, the car. Transform it now into our sanctuary. We welcome you, Lord God, as a song would say. We welcome you into this place. We welcome you into the broken vessel. We desire to abide in the praises. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So, God, as we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, God, we honor you and we offer unto you a sacrifice of our praise. So, God, have your way today. Have your way today. God, we send forth a revival, God, to touch our hearts and minds. God, bring forth your healing power now to transform us, to heal us, to deliver us, to saturate us with your spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank God and amen. Mother Kimmins is going to come with us, come before us with our scripture reading.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. I will be reading Psalms 100 this morning for your hearing. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good.
Yeah,
his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. I read you Psalms 100. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Amen.
Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people, so we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Nations, declare your glory. And the universe declares your majesty.
majesty. Yet you choose to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Come on, everybody, and say, welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You abide in the praises of your people. And so we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. As we offer up this praise unto your name. As we offer up this praise unto your name. Come on and give the Lord some praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. He is good. He is good, and he's so worthy to be praised. We just want to give a few announcements before we get ready for our praise and worship. We want to remind you that every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. is our corporate prayer time. It's when we call into the line. We come together touching and agreeing, praying for our city, our state, our nation, praying for our loved ones, praying for this world that we live in. We're praying for those that are sick and those that are grieving. So we want to remind you and encourage you to join us on Tuesday and Thursday as we go before the Lord in prayer. And then every Wednesday night, beginning at 6:45, because we are a Acts 2 church, we gather together, and that's a conference call also. We gather together for fellowship. We gather together for prayer and the study of God's word. And so we are truly grateful to God for what he has done for us and what he does on our behalf. We're just truly grateful, 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 and we're thankful to God. We want to ask that you continue to pray for the sick and the shut-in. Continue to pray for Mother Gloria, Mother Diane. Continue to pray for Mother Mays, Deacon Gwen, Brother Kimmins. We're just truly thanking God for being a healer, thanking him for being a deliverer, thanking God for being our strength and peace. And we want to continue to pray for those that are grieving. We know that our own sister Vicki Malone will be having the homegoing celebration for her brother this Tuesday at 11 o'clock at Bethel AME Church. We're going to ask that you would continue to keep Sister Vicki, Sister Marjorie, and Mother Gloria, Pastor Trish, Brother Jay, and all the family lifted up in prayer as they prepare for this homegoing celebration. We truly know that God is a healer and a comforter, and we just ask you to continue, my brothers and sisters, to pray for that family. We will be together on Tuesday at Bethel AME Church at 11 a.m. for the homegoing service for Brother Robert Bowden, and that is the brother of Sister Vicki Malone. And so we're just truly thankful to God for giving us what we need in a time of need. I want to tell you this morning we had a hallelujah good time at the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, as our son of the house, Elder Dante Farmer, brought forth a powerful, mighty word. If you caught it on Facebook, you were able to hear it. His message today was don't neglect the gift. And he preached the word today, preaching and teaching to us about Paul and Timothy. So we're just truly grateful to God that we were able to share with him and be with our St. Paul Church family. And so we're just grateful, thankful, and giving God all praise. I want you to know that on November the 5th, we will be providing dinner for the Willamette TPI shelter. So we will be providing dinner. I'm looking for some cornbread muffins and some cornbread. Amen. If you would like to make some cornbread and some cornbread muffins, please give me a call or send me a text message and say, Pastor, I'll make 24 cornbread muffins, or Pastor, I'll make a big pan of cornbread. I don't want that cast iron skillet cornbread. I need the big pan of cornbread. Amen. If you are willing to make cornbread, I'm asking that you would reach out to me, that we're going to serve chili and cornbread. So please, ma'am, please, sir, let's make it happen. We're serving 60 people, so we want enough cornbread so everybody can get a nice big slice or at least 2 to 3 muffins. And we're going to have cornbread and chili and then all the sides, you know, the onions and the cheese, and make it real good, a nice chili bowl. Amen. And so we're doing that on November the 5th. And so we just want you to be mindful that we are still doing ministry like Jesus. This year we will be giving out gift cards for Thanksgiving. And so if you know of a family that has been hit by the pandemic and they have not been able to get themselves back to that place, we want you to just give us their name so that we can be a blessing to them during this Thanksgiving holiday. And you know we try to bless people not just for that one day's meal, but we try to be a blessing so that they can through the rest of the week, because we know that children are home from school on that time. Amen. Those are our announcements. Welcome to all of our visitors, any guests that we may have worshiping with us for the first time on today. If you would like to say hello to the church family, if you would like to give words of hello, press 1, and I can bring you on live. You can come on live. Sister Yolanda Minifee, if you are on, please press 1 so I don't have to stop and look for the phone number. I'm going to have you, amen. We're going to ask you to give us our exhortation of worship that we may be ready to go before the Lord. Following our exhortation of worship, we'll have our praise and worship, and then we're going to go straight to the word. Amen. We're going to go straight to the word. If you have your Sunday school book, we're on page 78. And if you have your Bible, we're on page 84. Psalm 84. I'm sorry. It's the Sunday school book. The lesson is on 78. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at Psalm 84. Amen. Any visitors worshiping with us today for the first time, you want to say hello. We would love to hear your voice and then let you know how much we appreciate you being with us. Amen. Amen. Well, we're making ready now to go into our praise and worship. And as Sister Yolanda Minifee comes to give us our exhortation of praise and worship, I'm going to ask that you not just sit in the house and listen to her pray, but you engage in the prayer. If she says, clap your hands, clap your hands. If she says, say hallelujah, because I want you to experience the presence of the Lord right where you are. And the only way that you can do that is by turning off the TV, telling everybody to sit down and be quiet, because we are going to have joy in our worship experience on today. And so we are making ready now. I yield this call over to Sister Yolanda Minifee to lead us to the throne of grace as we may worship the Lord our God.
Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace, your joy, your love, your favor, your faithfulness, God. Thank you for allowing us to wake up to see another day. God, thank you for allowing us another day to get it right, to do what you would have us to do, to stay in your will. God, we say thank you. God, as we get ready to enter into this worship experience, God, we pray that you just continue to pour out your blessing, God. Allow our minds to roll back to the things that you have done, the places where you have brought us from, the people you have changed us from. So, God, we say thank you. Thank you for keeping us today, God. Thank you for loving on us, God, even when we didn't love ourselves, God. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for being faithful, God, even when we weren't faithful to you, God. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for sins that had nothing to do with him. So, God, we say thank you. God, as we listen to the songs, God, let the words meditate in our spirits. Let the word wake us up, God. Let the word remind us who we are, that we have victory in you. Remind us that we are more than a conqueror. God, we say thank you, God. As the music plays, God, let it sit in our spirit, God. Let it wake us up, God. Let us get to the place where, God, we can raise our hands, God. If we can't clap our hands, God, even if we can't move our feet, God, just let us think on those things that are good. God, just let us praise you, as old folks say, if I can't do nothing but wave my hand. And if they can't do that, God, just let their mind go into prayer. God, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise, God. We owe you everything. So, God, we give you the highest praise. It is our just due service. This is what we were created to do. So, God, we do this unto you. God, we love you. God, we say thank you, God. Thank you for doing the things in this season and including us. Because, God, it did not have to be so. So, God, thank you for having us on your mind. Thank you for keeping us as the apple of your eye. But, God, as we get happy in the spirit, God, let us enjoy this, God, so that when we get off, we can pass it on to somebody else. God, you show unconditional love. Let us reciprocate that to the next person. God, let us be in the place where we can share the word of God with them so that they may come to have a personal relationship with you. So, God, as the songs go forth, as the word go forth, God, let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers of the word. Let us want to be in your word, in your will, and in your way so that we will get out your way and allow you to move. God, thank you for the presence. God, we know you to be an omnipresent God. Ha ha. And God, I'm excited. I am excited for what you were doing in this season. I'm excited for the word, God. I'm excited for this worship experience. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, and amen.
Next time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore him.
Kneel down before him.
Kneel down before him.
Worship and adore him.
Worship and adore him.
Come on, say it again. Come.
Come.
Let us. Before you.
Kneel down before him.
In your presence, Lord, worship.
Worship and adore him.
Tell me, say,
Emmanuel.
Come on and say, Emmanuel. You learn to praise him even in the midst of a trial. Come.
Come.
Let us.
Come, let us adore.
to know how to give him a sacrifice of praise. Now I know you know the song by now. Come. Let us adore him. Thank you, Lord.
Kneel down before him.
He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Come on, say Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
I like that. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
He's my redeemer. He's my savior.
Emmanuel.
Let me see some hands. We worship him.
We worship you.
Everybody.
We worship you.
We worship you.
Get that camera on them.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh,
my body with a finger of love. That's why I love him. Let me give you another reason why I love the Lord. He kept me close in my right mind. The old folks say, I got a reasonable portion of my heavenly strength. I wonder, is anybody here? Do you love the Lord? Look back on your life when you were down. God picked you up when you were sad. Didn't God make you glad when you didn't have no money, money to pay your bills? Didn't he step in on time? Won't he step in on time? That's why I love.
Hallelujah. You get the praise. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, for being so good to us, giving us this chance to come into your presence, to sit at your feet, and to hear a word from you today. Lord, we thank you for the word that's coming forth. We thank you, God, that you have prepared this lesson just for us. Father, we are living in perilous times. This world system is so corrupted, so perverted. Capitalism, racism, sexism, violence, the plague, the pandemic. The world system is not nice to us. It's not kind to us. It's not fair to us. But God, we, your children, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. For you have given us joy. And it's all because of our worship that we render unto you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for choosing us this day to worship you in spirit and in truth, for giving us this opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace. Now, God, take us now and put us at a place where we hear your voice and we see your hand moving. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Have your way now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you, oh God, and we praise you, and we give you glory and honor. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God, come on, clap your hands, all ye people, and just shout unto God now. Hallelujah! Yes, that we are worshiping the Lord with joy. Joy that the world didn't give us. Joy that the world can't take away. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of our God. Our lesson today comes from Psalms 84. And we have been in the book of Psalms all month. And I hope you've taken out the time to not to wait until Sunday or Saturday to look at the lesson and to go back and reflect and to keep yourself rooted and grounded in this word. I cannot stress how important it is for the people of God, the believers of God, to stay connected to his word. We got to stay connected to his word. And the only way we do that is by reading his word and by pondering his word in our hearts and meditating upon his word when both day and night. So I want to encourage you to get in the word. If you don't have a Sunday school book and you would like a Sunday school book, please reach out. You can contact Mother Kimmins or you can contact me. We still have copies. People didn't pick up their copies, but we still have your Sunday school book. We want you to have this material because this is how you can continue to study. If you are sick and shut in and can't get out, call us. We will mail the book to you so that you can have it, so that you can study with us and be right where we are. Psalms 84. I told you the 10th of October that there were several different writers, authors, for this collection of hymns, psalms, and poems. And today we are being introduced to some sons of Korah. They are a musically gifted family. And they are the writers of the psalms that we are looking at today, Psalms 84. This psalm is written for the choir, written by the choir director. is what my book says. And the theme of this psalm is to help us to understand God's living purpose is our greatest joy. His radiant presence helps us to grow in strength, grace, and glory. So if we are expecting to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, we must spend some time in. God is so concerned about us, my brothers and sisters. He loves us so much that he just wants to spend so much time with us. And look at what he does. When we spend time with him, we grow in strength, grace, and glory. And in order for us to endure these hard times that we're living in, we've got to have the strength of the Lord. We've got to have the grace of God, and we've got to have the glory of the Lord. And if we don't have the strength of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord leading us, guiding us, protecting us, and helping us, the enemy is going to come in and consume us. Because you know what his job is to do, is to seek who he can devour, who he can destroy, who he can kill. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, find yourself every morning getting in the presence of the Lord, in the noonday, getting in the presence, in the evening, getting in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about our author today, the sons of Korah. They were porters. They were musicians, and they served the priest and the church. When you read in First Chronicles chapter 9, it tells us that porters were also gatekeepers that guarded the four main entrances of the temple. And they were the ones responsible for opening the gate each morning for those who wanted to enter in the gate for worship. In addition to that responsibility, they also did other day-to-day chores within the temple to help make sure everything ran smoothly. I love me some ushers. I love people that know how to follow instructions and to help maintain order. I want you to know that if you go to a worship experience and you go and there is no order, you need to start praying, because God is a God of order, and he likes all things to be done decent and in order. People know I am a stickler for order, and things just ought to go a certain way and look a certain way when we are doing the work of the Lord. Even when we do our daily work, there is some order. You're supposed to be at work at 8:30. You don't stroll in at 9 o'clock. There's some order. You get up and you get to work right when you know you're supposed to be, 8:30, 8:29, 8:27. You know, some of us are early birds, so we get there at 8:20. But there's order. There's order. And so God is a God of order, and so we want to remember that. We want to remember that God is a God of order. The gatekeepers had to be reliable. Yeah, gatekeepers had to be reliable. They got to church early. They were honest, and they were trustworthy. Any gatekeepers today? We got to be, thank you, Lord, gatekeepers of our hearts. Ah, Pastor Black, you always trying to talk to us and then putting us in check. That's the Holy Spirit, because Pastor Black needs to be put in check too sometimes. We got to be gatekeepers to our hearts. We got to be reliable. We got to be honest. And we got to be trustworthy. Are we really living this life that we talk about, that we sing about? We not just telling others, do what I say, not as I do. Are we really applying the word of God
to our daily lives. That's what this means here. That's what the gatekeepers did at the church, at the temple, and that's what they do. Our ushers, people that get close to the men and women of God, have to be people that are reliable. You can't have an armor bearer or a head usher that come to church when they get ready or when they want to, because the pastor looks for them for help and to help them with establishing the order of the church. And so they're reliable, they're honest, and they're trustworthy. Are we reliable to the word that we receive week after week? Do we make sure that we massage that word week after week? Monday through Thursday, do we recite that word? Do we ponder on that word again? Do we speak that word over our lives and our situations and our circumstances? Or do we just wait for Sunday morning to get another word? And are we honest with ourselves? God is calling for us to be honest. And then are we trustworthy? Can God trust us today? Can he trust us to do what he's purposed within us to do? Elder Farmer told us this morning, don't neglect your gifts. All of us have gifts. You might not have the same gift that I have, but we all have gifts. Can God trust you to use the gift that he gave you to do what he's called you to do in these last and evil days? The people in our churches who handle the money and care for the material and the functions of our building follow in a great tradition, and we should honor them for their reliability and their service. Thank you to Brother Jerry for being the groundskeeper. Thank you to Brother Farrell and Brother Kimmins and Deacon Gwynn and all of those that go down to clean the bathroom and clean the kitchen and run the vacuum and clean up the cobwebs. Thank you. Thank you to all of those who on every now and then just drive by. Elder Farmer, every now and then just drives by, get out and goes in to make sure that everything is okay, nothing is broken. Thank you for keeping a watchful eye over the grounds that God has given us. Thank you for making sure it's clean and it's presentable, because that's all of our responsibility right there. Let's look to our lesson. That was free. That was free. You all know I always have to give us something to help us to do better. I heard somebody say, when you know better, you do better. Amen. And so somebody might not have known. I should just drive by the church and make sure everything is okay. I might not can get in, but I can drive by, go by and walk around and pray. And that God will continue to bless us and keep us. Even though we're not there every week, stop by. Just sit there for a minute. Get out and walk around. I was there on a Tuesday, and there was people came by. They said, I'm so glad to see that the church is still here. Because she said, I know that the pandemic has kept people away, but I'm glad to know that the church is still alive. Our lesson here, the sons of Korah, reporters, musicians for the priests. These positions meant that they dwelt in God's house. This physical closeness to God's house prompted their love and desire of God in ways that others may not have felt. The sons of Korah longed for the Lord's house because they longed for the presence of the Lord. Those who can live in God's house should always respond in praise, because nothing is better than being in God's presence. There is a joy experienced in worship in God's presence, and the benefits of joyfully worshiping God are immeasurable. All in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let me tell you a little bit about the sons of Korah. They wrote this passage of scripture. They are a remnant of what was left after their family rebelled against Moses when they were in the wilderness. The rebellion of Korah angered God in such a way that he caused the heavens to open and consume Korah and those that had rebelled against him. Now, let me pause because even though their retaliation and their anger was released onto Moses, it really wasn't a slap in Moses' face. It was a slap in God's face. Let me help somebody out here. When you talk about your preacher, when you talk about your leader, you're really talking about God. I know that man is not perfect, and I know that women are not perfect, and they're going to mess up. But the Bible says to us to touch not the anointed and do the prophets no harm. God's going to take care of them. You can't worry about I can't worry about you and your junk. You can't worry about me and my junk. You just need to trust the God that's in me that I will hear from God and God will deal with me without him getting so angry that he opens up the earth. And look at what God did. It was 250 of them and murmured against Moses, against God. And God said, I've had enough. I'm sick and tired of you. Aren't you glad we don't serve a God like that anymore? See, that's how it was that God was like, I had enough. Enough is enough. I'm going to cause the earth to open up, and it's going to swallow Korah and all 250 of y'all that was cutting up, acting a royal fool. The children of Korah, there was some of her children that survived, and they are the ones who have written this psalm for us today. There are four things that they want us to know today. If you are taking notes and if you are looking at your Sunday school book on page 81, the first thing they want us to know is that the tabernacle is the place of worship. The tabernacle is the place of worship. The second thing they want to talk to us about is the valley of Baca. Okay? We're gonna get into that too in just a little bit. The third thing they want us to do is how to have a reverence for worship. A reverence for worship. And the fourth and final thing that we're gonna look at is that we have joy when we worship. Yes. Let's read. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Psalms 84, number 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's army. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body and soul. I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. Verse 4 says, what joy for those who live in your house, always singing your praises. Then you find the word interlude. Interlude means pause. Take a moment to think about it. Think about being in the house of the Lord. I know it's been some time since we actually sat in our sanctuary, but when you get there, you ought to have a different attitude about why you're there. Because the presence of the Lord is there. Verse 5 says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their mind on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, which is that valley is
Baca, B-A-C-A. It is known as the Valley of Weeping. It will become a place of refreshing springs. Oh, my. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Oh, Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. Interlude. Take a moment to pause. Take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Come on now and think about it. Think about it. Hallelujah. Think about the presence of the Lord. We got to be in his presence. Verse 9 says, oh God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. Verse 10 says, a single day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live in the good life in the home of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun, S-U-N, and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of his holy word. Psalms 84 is a reflection of the desire to worship in God's house. As we see in this psalm, the sons of Korah, they wrote 10 other psalms, Psalms 42, Psalms 44 through 49, Psalms 84, 85, 87, and 88. They were the ones responsible for setting the atmosphere and the tone for worship. They start out by letting us know that we are coming into this place of worship, and there's a mindset that we must have about God's house. It's lovely. It's beautiful. We should be in awe. And there should be a great wonder that consumes us. Now, we go to a lot of places. We go to a lot of people's homes. And you respect their home. If they don't smoke in the house, you don't smoke in the house. If they take off their shoes at the front door, you take off your shoes at the front door. You know their rules, their customs. You just don't walk in their house and just do what you want to do. And I don't know why it is people have forgotten that the house of the Lord don't belong to the people, but it belongs to God. And when we go into the house, we ought to come with a praise and a thanksgiving already on our heart, in our mouth, in our mind. Isn't that what he said? He said right there in verse 2, he said, with my whole being, body and soul. I don't understand why people come to the house of the Lord to worship and they don't want to lift up hands and they don't want to clap their hands and they don't want to stand and they don't want to dance in his presence, and they don't want to sing, but they just want to be entertained. I'm hoping that the next time we get the opportunity to go to
him. We'll go with his presence. We'll take him with us. I don't go to the house of the Lord to have a worship experience. I bring it with me. I bring the worship experience with me. When I got to St. Paul this morning, I wasn't waiting for the praise team to pump and prime me. I was already pumped and primed. I was ready to worship the Lord with some more saints. That's what he's saying here to us. When we get to the house of the Lord, we ought to come to the dwelling place. We ought to come to the temple with a praise and a thanksgiving. You ought to come with the spirit of expectation. You ought to come ready to worship him, ready to give him glory and honor. I want you to know also, because we are living in a pandemic, I want you to know that worship the Lord does not just have to be in the church house. The lesson talks about God living in man-made structures. That's found in Acts chapter 7. I want you to know that you don't have to get to the temple. You don't have to get to the church to worship the Lord. You can worship him in your house. You can worship him on your job. You can worship him in the car. You can worship him on the bus stop. You can worship him in the hospital room, in the nursing home. Wherever you are, the Spirit of the Lord is there, and all you've got to do is say, "Oh Lord, how excellent is thy name." The lesson tells us here, he says, cry. He's not saying cry because you're weary, cry because you're hurt, cry because you're tired. He said cry with a voice of joy, to sing unto the Lord with a triumphant praise. You know, sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. Every now and then we gotta just wake up and shout hallelujah. Every now and then we got to just wake up and say thank you, Jesus, with great anticipation. That's what verses 1 and 2 are saying to us, that we ought to worship the Lord everywhere. We ought to have this yearning and this desire and this passion to worship him. He is the living God. And he is the only one that can satisfy the desires of our souls. Pastor Black, how do I worship the Lord? Well, first, you need to know that worship is based on who he is. And in order for you to be able to worship him, you need to know who he is. It's okay to know that mama said he is the God of my salvation. It's good that you know that grandmama say he is. It's good that you know that uncle say he is my wheel in the middle of the wheel. But baby, you need to know for yourself that God is your provider, your healer, your deliverer, your way maker, your joy in the time of sorrow, your company keeper, your mind regulator, your heart fixer. You need to know for yourself that he's good, he's faithful, he's kind, he's wonderful, he is magnificent. You need to know for yourself. That's how you worship him. You worship him by complimenting him. Lord, you're good and your mercy is everlasting. Lord, your faithfulness is good every morning. Lord, you are great and you're worthy to be praised. That's how we worship him. I'm just giving us some tools today. So that we can worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. You don't need Pastor Black at the house to help you worship. You can worship on your own. I've given you some tools. Use what you got. Ain't got to be fancy. Just need to know how to call on his name and need to be able to know that he's good. Read the book of Psalms. It tells us that the Lord is good, that the Lord is great, that the Lord is awesome, that the Lord is marvelous, that the Lord is a wonder. It either says that he is a terrible God. He says that he's a marvelous God. It tells us that there is no God like him. He is the beginning and the end. Read the Psalms. It tells us that he's faithful. In here, the Bible lets us know that we must express a sincere longing to worship the Lord. We're going to get back in the work. We're going to get back in the house. We're going to get back there. But until we get there, don't stop worshiping him. Don't stop praising him. Don't stop lifting him up. Don't stop giving him glory and honor, because we owe him another praise. As Christians, we can meet and praise the Lord anywhere. But going to the house of the Lord, a building, a cathedral, it helps us. It helps us. It helps us to set aside, step away from the busyness of life. Why? Even though we're not in the church for worship, you might be at home. You need to cut off your TV. You still need to give this call your undivided attention. You still need to separate yourself from the busyness of life. People know not to, I don't answer my phone. I don't answer text messages during this hour, because it's just like being in the church. I want to give God my undivided attention, because I need to step away from my job. I need to step away from the wisdom and the knowledge I give to my children and my grandchildren. I need to step away from the world. I need to step away from the world system so that I can get in the presence of the Lord, so that he can strengthen me, so that he can renew me, so that he can empower me with strength to go back out into the world, to compel men and women and boys and girls to come to Christ. We should not only step away on Sunday, but every now and then, saints of God, you just need to steal away to get in his presence, to worship him, to praise him. We come together because Psalms 133 says, oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Saints, heaven can be moved right where we are, coming together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, touching and agreeing. Why? Because we need strength. We need God to strengthen our hearts. We need God to restore unto us joy. Psalms 23 tells us, verse 4, that we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is not really, it's not just talking about physical death of dying, but we must crucify our flesh every day. Our flesh must die daily. And God is saying, I'm there to help you. I'm there to strengthen you. I'm there to comfort you. I'm there to lead you and guide you so that you will make the right decisions. You'll make the right choices. You'll do the right things. You'll say the right stuff. And then you will experience the bountiful blessings that I have to bestow upon you. Here we have the opportunity to be blessed men and women. You know, people always say I'm blessed and highly favored, but I'm now that I'm studying more in the Psalms and spent a lot of time in the Proverbs, do we really understand what it means to be blessed? We ought to just quit saying stuff without knowing the real true meaning of the words that we're saying. Some people think they blessed because they woke up this morning. Some people think they blessed because they sitting in a nice house today. Some people think that they're blessed because, you know, they look good, they got money, they got a good education. But in order for us to really be blessed the way that God purposed for us to be blessed, we must learn how to spend time in his presence. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord are rich and they addeth no sorrow. We get frustrated real quick with our man-made blessings because they break down loving us. They stop those man-made blessings. They love us when they want to. But when we learn how to get in the presence of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the Bible said, maketh us rich. Maketh us rich. And it adds no sorrow. Have a continuous praise. Well, Pastor Black, I don't feel like it. My body hurts. I'm broke, and it's the end of the month. I don't know if I'm going to marriage counseling or to divorce court. I don't know if I need to go see the psychiatrist or just go and be committed to the nut house. I don't know. But let me tell you, wherever state you find yourself in, I guarantee you, if you pause for the cause to praise a God that's loving, kind, and compassionate, he'll help you. He will strengthen you. He will give you what you need to make it through. Not what you want, but what you need. The Bible says he'll satisfy our soul. We all think that we need one thing, but he knows us. I'm saying I need some money. But the Lord might not be saying, okay, you need some money, but you also need an opportunity to share the goodness of who I am. Also need the opportunity to let somebody know that if they're kind and if they're loving, those blessings will follow not only them but their children and their children's children. We people laugh and say, my grandmother, she would take in everybody's kids. Well, I took that heart too, and I took that heart because I don't know where my children are going to one day go. But because I help somebody else's child, somebody's going to come along and help my child. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's how the Lord blesses us. We ought not just be expecting a blessing, but we should every now and then be a blessing. Verse 11 here is not saying that God does not promise that God will give us everything we think is good, but he will not withhold what is permanently good. He will give us the means to walk along his path. We must walk in obedience to the word of God. He will not hold anything back if we continue to love him and to praise him and to give him the reverence that's due unto his name. Let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters. Mm. worship settings and the way we did church in the past, those things are changing. And by following what's trending or what might appeal to a multitude of generations, we can find ourselves compromising the tangible presence. Worship, my brothers and sisters, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Worship is a lifestyle. Oh, amen goes right there. Worship is a lifestyle. Our lifestyle of worship should reverence the Lord our God. That means we ought to take time out to spend with God, and that time needs to impact our lives. Well, Pastor Black, how much time do I need to carve out to spend with God so that God will impact my life? Well, we're going to tithe our time. God has given us 24 hours in a day. That means a tenth of the day, which is 2 hours and 40 minutes, belongs to God. Nobody, well, I'm not going to say nobody, because somebody does have 2 hours and 40 minutes to sit and read the Bible and to pray, you know, a straight 2 hours and 40 minutes. For those of us that go to work and go to school, we got to be strategic about our time. You need to wake up a little early and give God 30 minutes before you get up and get to moving. And then before your lunch break is over, you need to carve out 15 minutes to spend with God. Okay? So we're up to 45 minutes. 10-minute break. You need to spend time. Well, you get two. So you take those 15-minute breaks, and you walk away from the desk, and you walk away from everybody else. You leave the classroom. You leave the workspace, and you go to the bathroom, or you go outside, and then you just say, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." Or you say, "Oh, Lord, you're good." So that's an hour right there. We work up to an hour. And then on the way home, we don't talk on the phone, and we don't listen to music, but we talk to the Lord. And some of us travel 5 to 10 minutes. And so that's 10 minutes right there in his presence, giving him our undivided attention. Walking down the street, "Lord, I thank you because the trees that once were green, now they're yellow and orange and brown. Thank you, God, that you allowed the season to change, the rain to come, the wind to blow." That's recognizing and honoring him and respecting the work that he has done in our midst. Oh, God, how we thank you. Carve out time, saints, to spend with God, that he may impact your life. God's presence brings us grace and glory, which will help us dwell in his presence. We need to incorporate personal worship time. We must experience revival in our own lives. And we do that by giving God 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. You don't have to have the Bible out. You don't have to have the praise team there. Listen to the birds singing, chirping. Listen to the water fall and the wind blow. We ought to just carve out time to be in his presence. Your soul should be longing to be in the presence of the Lord. We should be desiring to be in his presence. We should be desiring We should be ready, saints of God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Take the time, my brothers and sisters, to worship him, to honor him, and to give him glory. Take the time to worship him, to give him truth. To be in his presence, to receive strength, glory, honor, and power. That's what he desires of us, that we would worship him in spirit and in truth, that we would honor him for the good things that he has done for all of us. I hope today that you've been blessed by the word of God. I hope today that something has been said to encourage you and to strengthen you and to help you do what satisfies your soul, knowing that only God can satisfy your soul. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for being so good and so kind. We thank you for being so merciful and so great. How we honor you, oh God, and how we bless you. And we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness towards us. As we worship you in spirit and in truth, help us, Father God. Help us, Lord, to realize that we owe you another praise in spite of how we feel, in spite of what's going on. Help us to remember that we owe you another praise and we desire to be in your presence. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from another. What I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch, pray, and remember that worship is a lifestyle.